Jeff?
Oh.
Wait a second.
I think we have Tom Skilling now. Should we put we'll put Kevin sports Powell on hold,
and we'll find out more about the mysterious Jeff.
Sorry about that. I was trying to talk to Kevin, as a matter of fact, guys. How are you?
Hi, we're doing great. Good. Kevin, we'll talk to you soon.
Forgive me. I just ran in the office here.
Boy, are your legs tired.
Tom. Oh, my gosh. That's
Tom,
true.
We can address something that you've been afraid to talk about on the air for a long time. You have an imaginary friend named Jeff who helps you with the weather every day.
Actually, I was confusing Kevin with Jeff. Rose producer.
From Rose, yes. Oh, okay, so see, that makes sense.
That's what happened.
Oh, that makes
but
sense.
Forgive me. I'll tell you something. I thought I gauged my timing properly.
You're perfect timing right now.
I work at home in the morning. I start about 8 in the morning or 8:30 and pull down viewer pictures and all of my model stuff. And then I come in here and start to work on the computer graphics for the TV side and get ready for my 3 o'clock radio forecast with Judy. And so anyway, there's a little bit of a transport time between the home and the station office here.
They won't let you put a Doppler in your car so you can monitor that on the way
isn't
in?
Isn't that a shame?
Yes.
It would make things so much easier.
That's an injustice.
Also, would make for a very heavy car. You know?
Oh, sure. Okay. That's true, too.
You know, Tom, you are the only one we trust. I will tell you that right now.
Oh, Wendy, you are so sweet. Thank you. Believe me, I have a lot of wonderful colleagues in this business, but that's nice to hear.
Well, I think a lot of the listening audience agrees with that, too. So Farmer's Almanac comes out and says we're going to have this really terribly cold winter. Yeah. And I'm like, we got to get the real truth out of Tom Skilling, because I know that they're not calling it global warming anymore. What are they calling it?
Oh, climate change.
Climate change.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with global warming. That is what's happening. The problem is, you know, there's certain areas that don't warm during global warming. You talk about the average for the whole planet. And that confuses some folks because they look out the window and see it cold and snowing and say, hey, what's going on here? And yet when you stand back and look at the whole picture, the planet is warming up and at a rate 10 times faster than anything we've seen before. So it's quite an issue. And we're melting a lot of Arctic ice.
Right.
Which by the way, impacts our winter seasons around here, all seasons of the year here in the mid-latitudes. So that may be thousands of miles away, but it contributes to a buckling of the jet stream and a reconfiguration of the steering winds at that level that blow around the planet. So that's how you wind up with some pretty unusual weather parking over various regions for longer periods of time than it used to, and contributes to some of the global extremes that we see.
Is that why we have such a mild fall this year?
You know, I think that's one of the contributing factors. We're coming off an El Nino that was of record intensity. That helped warm the planet as well. But there's no question. I mean, you know, this is the warmest year on record globally. I did a talk on climate change this past weekend and one the weekend before that, as a matter of fact. And I show these graphs of temperatures for cities all over the planet in both hemispheres, and you look at the last year and it's amazing. You know, virtually all these cities have posted above normal or warmer than normal temperatures. So this is real. It's going on. And you know, we've melted, it's estimated, about a trillion tons of ice in Greenland alone from 2011 to 2014. They've lost 9 trillion tons of ice up there in just the last 100 years. And to give you an idea of how substantial that is, that the meltwater from that melting ice would be enough to cover the entire U.S. interstate system to a depth of 98 feet and to do it 63 times over.
Wow.
So it's there's a lot of water there, and it's not just Greenland that's melting. It's doing it in Alaska as well. They've lost 324 trillion tons of ice. You know, and that's since 1994, and they lose about 75 billion tons of ice a year there, and Antarctica is melting as well. So it's quite interesting. They can actually measure that now. There are gravity satellites that can look at the depth of the ice, and that's how we're able, they've actually assessed the ice loss in every glacier around the planet to come up with these numbers. The folks at NASA and NOAA, and other research organizations. So it's quite an issue we've got going here.
Tom, I know that you're not here to talk politics, but Donald Trump named this guy Myron Ebell to be the EPA, the head of the EPA, and he's the head of the EPA transition team.
Right.
And he's a guy that doesn't believe in climate change.
No.
That's a little on the
China's fault, right? Isn't that what Donald Trump said?
A lot of it's China's fault.
Well, it's kind of odd, isn't it, that you put somebody in that position that already has a pre-stated condition, claim about the whole thing. And it's reminiscent of what happened in Australia 3 years ago with Tony Abbott. I was over there at a wedding, and I stopped at the Bureau of Meteorology office in Perth, and I said, hey, you know, I'm curious, talking one colleague to another, what do you guys down here think about, and gals think about climate change?
Mm-hmm.
And the chief of the office there said, oh, he waved with his arm an upward sweep, and he said the temperature is doing this, and the precip with a downward sweep is doing that. So it's warming and drying. And at the time I was over there, there were these fires burning northwest of Sydney with such abandon and in such record fashion that they had shrouded the entire city of Sydney, which is the largest city in Australia, in this noxious, acrid layer of smoke. And the TV networks over there had gone wall to wall in their coverage of these horrible fires. And the fellow at the Bureau of Meteorology said the only one in this country who doesn't believe climate change is underway is our prime minister. And his first act in office was to cut all funding for government funding for climate research. And so, the appointment that's going on in this country right now has people in the climate community scared to death. Because, that seems to be the way they want to quiet this down, you know, and it might be one of the approaches they take. We'll see.
But, Tom, when that many scientists come forth and figure something out, I don't understand how you can believe the contrary. It doesn't make sense.
I know. But there are a lot of things that don't make sense right now.
Yeah,
there's a lot of, social media has contributed to this. So it's interesting, the fake news stories that have been coming up. And, what's incredible is social media has put us in a position where you essentially give the same significance to a Nobel Prize winning scientist that you do somebody who has no background in climate training at all and yet is online, espousing his or her views on what's going on. And so it's difficult to assess, unless you're in the profession itself, the validity of a lot of the statements that are being made. You know, the statement goes from the deniers something like this: we've always had climate change. There's nothing new about this. We've survived it. We'll get through this, too. And the fact of the matter is what's going on now is without precedent. The speed at which it's going on and also the population of the planet it's going on.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause we've got more people at risk. And, you know, the Pentagon buys into this fully.
Mm-hmm.
They have 28 million acres of real estate with bases on it around the world. And they take this very seriously. The Norfolk, Virginia naval base, for instance, regularly floods now. And the statement was made in an article about the situation and that a young person born on that base today may live to see the whole base go underwater and into the Atlantic. And they've talked about a $10 billion wall around New York as a starting point. And other cities are going to have to make the same sorts of adjustments.
That's my question. If with all the polar ice caps melting so significantly, are we all going to be underwater someday?
Well, not all of us, because we're safely here in Chicago, where we're, 650-some feet above sea level. So we're okay here, Wendy. But the coastal cities, and there are millions, hundreds of millions of people in these big cities, fly into New York sometime and look down below on a clear day, and you see, residences and buildings right up to the water, and you get some idea how significant a rise in that ocean water level would be. It's up 6 to 8 inches now. It's predicted to go up another 3 feet by the end of the century, and there's some uncertainty about the speed, because the melting's been going on faster than models have been projecting, and so there's some.
What do models know? Come on, they look beautiful, Tom.
Those kind of models.
Why are they determining the water rising? That's ridiculous.
You know, it's funny. Steve Sanders, my colleague here always used to say, now, the European model, is she a blonde or a brunette, you know? And so that was, I love that line. Steve has that self-deprecating sense of humor, which is always
very
great.
Funny. Yes. All right, I'm sure a million people have already asked you this, but I'll be a million and one.
Yeah.
White Christmas or not White Christmas?
I don't know at this
still
point. We have no skill at predicting a specific storm at that distance. I wish we did, Bill, but be completely honest with you. And so you may say, well, now, how do you know the climate's changing, and how do you come up with these seasonal forecasts?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens is we can run models that look at day-to-day details out, you know, tens of years, hundreds of years. The problem is, at some point, you lose the specifics on these models. And therefore, your ability to predict an individual storm, the accuracy of that prediction and the ability to do it decreases with time as you go out. But what doesn't decrease, it turns out, is indications of general patterns. And the way we know that these models work is you can go back 40 years, take the initial observations back then, run the model up to the current time, and see whether it's simulated what's really gone on in the real atmosphere up to this point. And the fact is these models exhibit skill at predicting general trends.
Hmm.
And so that's why they're taken quite seriously.
I would think, sure.
All right, so are we going to have a frigid winter, or you can't predict that
yet
either?
You know, I'll tell you, Wendy, here's the situation. I'm of the opinion that we may have a milder than normal winter overall. And I'll tell you why. A couple reasons I feel that way. One, we've done some statistical work in-house, and 6 of 10 winters that follow a cold, warm summer are themselves warmer than normal. The notion that because we've had a warm summer, we're going to pay for it in the winter actually is not supported by statistics. And another thing, we've run this autumn, which is the sixth warmest autumn we've had going up to this point. It only turned cold over the weekend, and the first snowflakes on Saturday were 3 weeks late. Every metric by which you assess the a particular season is running way behind in terms of cold weather arrival. So, and also 12 of the last 14 months have been above average.
Mm-hmm.
So to turn things around and go into a barbaric winter would require a massive realignment of a pattern that's going on. And there's something we call persistence in the climate forecast world, where you say, look, if a pattern is held up that long, you better have some pretty solid evidence it's going to change as radically as you say if you're predicting a radically colder or snowier winter. Look, there's nothing about seasonal forecasting that's carved in stone. There's great uncertainty there. But I would just caution that we have some indicators that this will be a warmer than normal winter overall. Now, does that mean it won't snow or we won't have a blizzard or a snowstorm or anything like a cold wave? Absolutely not. Any more than a warming planet is unable, you know, the notion that it's unable to produce a snowstorm or a cold wave. Those happen on the warming planet. And a milder than average overall winter can still produce cold waves and snowstorms. You just get less of them. That's the big deal.
But, Tom, I heard you say the other day that this is one of the latest, I can't remember if you said 15 or 20 years, this is one of the latest falls where we haven't had any kind of snow at all.
Oh, yeah.
So that's good.
It's running, the first flurries came 3 weeks late. Every measure, the first 32-degree temperature, well, the first sub-50, which occurred over the weekend that we've had this autumn, is the latest to occur on the books around here. And our records go back 145 years. We had the latest occurring first 32-degree temperature. It was like 41 years behind the long-term average. So there are a lot of indicators that, this pattern has been very mild. And another thing, too, we run these what we call coupled models. They marry the ocean with the atmosphere, and they run them out. And we do it not only in this country and in different agencies. For instance, there's one of these a couple of these models run by the Weather Service, the Geophysical Fluid Dynamics Lab out in Princeton, New Jersey, that does a lot of this model
creation.
Didn't
you work there once, Bill?
I worked there for a few days.
Yeah. It's a fun lab to name, isn't it?
It's a good one.
Yeah. There are terms in meteorology that are just fun to pick out just to say them, and that's the Geophysical Fluid Dynamics Lab.
We had a lousy softball team, though, Tom.
Yeah,
That's why I left.
I hear you, Bill. But at any rate, they run a couple models. The Canadians run models. The Europeans run models at their various centers. The Japanese run a coupled model. The Canadians run these coupled models. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, the universality in all these in predicting an above normal winter. Now, on the other side of the ledger, there's an MIT professor who runs a program funded by the National Science Foundation, and he's of the strong opinion that Siberian snow cover dictates what the weather ultimately will be here. And he said because they've had more snow than usual there, and part of the reason is the ice melting has opened up the ocean surfaces that can then put more water into the Arctic atmosphere, and therefore their storms produce more snow, even as the region warms overall and dramatically. Yeah. But he would suggest that the winter may change character later on and that we'll be beset by cold air. Oh. So that's a fairly new approach, and it's being looked at seriously, but we'll see whether that verifies.
All right. We'll wait and see.
I'm feeling hopeful, Tom.
Yeah, I am too. You know, and again, just looking out in the next 2 weeks, for instance, as we go into December, which will happen in the next 2 weeks, it looks like it'll be a little colder. It's colder than it's been, just as this weekend was colder than any we've had recently. But when you compare it to average, you're still above average, you know.
Like you.
Way above average.
Well, I don't know about that, but I'll tell you, in here still kicking, you know, and giving it at the old college try.
That's all you could do.
I know.
Tom, we always appreciate talking to you, so thank you so much for helping us make sense of this.
It's so good to talk to you guys, and you give me time to ramble on about all this, but I think it's kind of interesting.
It's totally. I'm a weather nerd. I really am.
I know, and it's a great way to be, Wendy. So
it
hats
sure
off
is.
To you. And
thank
I think
you
Bill
very
is
much.
Too.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it. Have a good rest of the day.
You too, guys. Good to talk to you.
You as well.
That's
thanks.
Tom Skilling.
Love him.
One
Love
of the
him.
Best of all ever. We'll take a quick break, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.